Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apyagnayastu velayam nahuta havishasati twayodvigna dhiya bhadre proshite maikar hichit apyagnayastu velayam Nahuta havishasati Tvayod vignadiha badre Proshite maikahichit Apyagnayastu velayam Nahuta havishasati Vayod vignadhiya badre Proshite mai karhiche Apyagnayastu velayam nahuta havishasati twayodvigna dhiya badre Vaishnavis. Api, weather, agnayaha, fires, to, indeed, velayam, in the fire sacrifice, na, not, hutaha, offered, havisha, by ghee. Sati, O chaste woman, Twaya, by you, Udvigna Diyaha, because of some anxiety, Bhadre, O auspicious woman, Proshite, was away from home, Mai, when I, Karhichit, sometimes. Translation. O chaste and auspicious woman, when I left home for other places, were you in so much anxiety that you did not offer oblations of ghee into the fire? Next verse, because there's no purport to that. Yat pujaya kamadugan yati lokan grihan vitaha brahmanognis cha vai vishno sarva devatmano mukam. Translation. By worshipping the fire and the Brahmins, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets. For the sacrificial fire and the Brahmins are to be considered the mouth of Lord Vishnu, who is the supersoul of all the demigods. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. According to the Vedic system, a fire sacrifice is held in order to offer oblations of ghee, grains, fruits, flowers, and so on, so that Lord Vishnu may eat and be satisfied. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati daraham bhaktya paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Therefore, all these items may be offered in the sacrificial fire and Lord Vishnu will be satisfied. Similarly, Brahmana Bhojana, feeding of the Brahmins, is also recommended. For when the Brahmins eat sumptuous remnants of food after yajna, this is another way that Lord Vishnu himself eats. Therefore, the Vedic principles recommend that in every festival or ceremony, one offer oblations to the fire and give sumptuous food for the Brahmins to eat. By such activities, a householder may be elevated to the heavenly planets and similar places in the higher planetary systems. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for allowing me to serve you all today. I pray to the senior Vaishnavs that I may present the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta as it is, as given to us by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So in this chapter, the Payavrata process of worship, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, we are learning what Vedic culture is through the exemplary devotee couple Kashyap Muni and Aditi. Now, Kashyap Muni, he has been away for some time. He was meditating and he was in trance, and he returned and he saw that his wife was very, very morose, and him being a great sage, father of the demigods and the demons, he didn't chastise his wife. You know, why are you in this mood? Why aren't you happy to see me? You know, he didn't put her down in any way, shape, or form. His duty as a husband was to give his wife love and affection in the way of taking care of her mentally, physically, and spiritually. So anybody who follows Vedic culture, they're naturally going to be happy. Western civilization, we see that it's all centered on the self, as Acharya Narottam Prabhu and I were talking about yesterday, how Western civilization, it puts the individual in the center instead of God or Krishna in the center. And so in Vedic culture, you can see that if you're just following the simple principles of Vedic culture, you're going to be very healthy and happy. And so Kashyap Muni starts going down the list. Have you done this? Have you done this? And this is a husband showing how he's supposed to take care of his wife. Not that she's morose and, oh, she's morose, I'll go meditate or I'll go do devotional service by myself. But in Vedic culture, the husband and wife are a team. And even stated here, they live in an ashram, not a house. And when you're living in an ashram, the center is Krishna. So the husband and wife work as a team to engage in devotional service. The husband helps the wife and the wife helps the husband back and forth. And in these particular verses today, Kashyap Muni is talking about by worshipping the fire and the Brahmins, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets. All of us in this room were very familiar with the Vedic system of fire, yajna, sacrifice. And in the purport, and in the verse also, Srila Prabhupada talks about Brahman Bhojan, the satisfaction of the Brahmanas. So in every festival or in any sacrifice, the Brahmins must be offered some type of remnants of the Lord or be taken care of or given certain valuables for their services. And just when we were meditating on Govardhan Puja, Krishna himself also said that the Brahmins should be given all kinds of foods. They can eat sumptuously as much as they want to their full satisfaction. And Srila Prabhupada points out that by feeding a Brahmin, you're actually feeding Lord Vishnu. Because Vishnu eats through the yajna and eats through the Brahmins, as Srila Prabhupada points out. So this is very nice preaching for those who want to give any valuables to Brahmins and anybody who wants to claim themselves as a Brahmin. But we should understand properly what is a Brahmin. And we know that when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he performed some service for his father. His father was feeling ill, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was supposed to give a speech to assembly of Brahmins. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur mercifully went there and smashed their idea of what a Brahmin really is. Because they were thinking that a Brahmin, and Srila Prabhupada points this out very often, that they think that they can be Brahmins just by being born into a Brahmin family. And it's like being a lawyer's son and just automatically claiming that I can be a lawyer. Or being a doctor's son and just claiming I'm a doctor. I didn't go through any of the training. I didn't go through any of the medical school. But because my father, he's a doctor, I'm a doctor also. So a Brahmin is one who is, his whole life is centered on trying to teach others Vedic culture and also be exemplary in Vedic culture. And that means to also serve Krishna. And there's a very, very beautiful pastime of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. How Haridas Thakur, for some time he was living by Advaita Acharya. And every day Advaita Acharya used to call Haridas Thakur and feed Haridas Thakur. And one day Haridas Thakur, he said to Advaita Acharya that, I'm an outcast. You know, you're going to ruin your reputation by having me here. I'm a Malecha Yavana. And you should be calling other Brahmins to have lunch at your home, but instead you're calling me. And that day happened to be the day of the Shraddha Patra, where you offer food to the ancestors. And then you take that food and you give it to the topmost Brahmin, whoever in that in the little community who's seen as being the topmost Brahmin, then you give the remnants. And so Advaita Acharya, he gave the remnants of the Shatapatra to Haridas Thakur, claiming him to be the highest Brahmin. And he said that feeding you is like feeding 10 million Brahmins. So this is the benefit of feeding the Vaishnavs. You can feed a Brahmin, and you may achieve some pious activities, as stated here by Srila Prabhupada. The household or couple that feed the Brahmins, they may be elevated to the heavenly planets. But feeding a Vaishnav, which is speak of feeding a pure Vaishnav, like Haridas Thakur, is like feeding 10 million Brahmins. And in the purports, Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur go through of how a Vaishnav is already considered a Brahmin. Even the Brahmin, who's of the Brahmana caste, if he's not a devotee, he can't save himself, what to speak of anyone else. He can't even free himself from the material existence. And so this is the power of serving the Vaishnavs. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, in the instructions to Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Shiksha, in chapter 22, a process of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts talking about Abhideya. Before, in the previous chapters, he had been talking about Sambandha, and then he moves to Abhideya. And so he talks about how one can only get devotion from Krishna from the devotees. That's the only way that one can achieve Krishna bhakti, is that somehow they are fortunate, bhagya. Somehow they get this fortunate position to associate with advanced Vaishnavas. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about how there's different types of sukriti. There's three types of sukriti. We were talking about pious activities a little bit before. And how there's three different types of pious activities. One that will generate bhakti, bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. Then another one is bhogan mukhi sukriti, that which will give you material opulence later on. And the other one is, I believe it's mukti sukriti, which will give you liberation. But the sukriti that comes from the bhog and the mukti will not save you actually from the material existence. Only a Vaishnav, getting the association of a Vaishnav, that's the real fortunate position. So in the Shastras it says, Aradhananam Saravesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadhyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, his wife, that greater than worshipping the demigods is worshipping Lord Vishnu. Greater than worshipping Lord Vishnu is worshipping the devotees. And even in Adi Purana, there's the verse, Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktas chate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhaktatama mataha. O Arjuna, those who claim to be my devotees are actually not my devotees. I consider only those who are my servants of my devotees to factually be my devotees. This is from the Adi Purana. So this is how the Shastras stress sadhu sangha and serving the Vaishnavas. That's the only way we can get Krishna bhakti. In the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Leela, there's many, many verses, and you can go on pages and pages of glorifying the Vaishnavas. And sometimes living in a community of Vaishnavas, we can take Vaishnavas for granted. And then we can very easily commit Vaishnava Aparad, which will destroy our Bhakti Lata Beej, the mad elephant offense. When we perform Vaishnava Aparad, immediately all our Bhakti is taken away. And so we have to be very careful. But we should have the proper conception of worshipping the Vaishnavas. And as I just quoted from the last two verses, how Krishna sees that those who are serving his devotees are actually his devotees. And in the Lila of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he became so busy with his preaching mission that so many people wanted to come and see him, wanted to come have his association. So he had a test. He had like a litmus test for people who would come and see him. And he would ask them, "Are you a devotee of Krishna?" And if they said yes, he said, "Okay, I'm very busy right now. Maybe some other time I'll see you." But if he asked them, "Are you a devotee of Krishna?" and they answered, "No, I'm just trying to be a servant of the servant of the servant," he said, "I have so much time for you. I will stop whatever I'm doing and I will give you some time." So this is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's criteria for getting his association, having that mood. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's an amazing pastime in the Antya Lila with Kalidas, who is he's Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle. And Kalidas, he was a very rich person. He was a Brahmin by birth. And he made it his life's mission to get the remnants, the foot dust, and if he could, the foot water of all the Vaishnavs in all of Bengal. Kalidas, he was such a liberal and sincere devotee that he would chant the holy name constantly. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how even he would play dice and jest, joking, he would chant the holy names. And our acharyas point out that we should not engage in those activities because we are not on a very high platform. But he was doing it in a joking manner. And so Kalidas, he was very expert at getting the remnants of the Vaishnavas. And he did it in such a gentle and humble way because he would beg the Vaishnavas. He would go up to them and beg them for the remnants. And if they didn't give it to him, then he would somehow hide and sneak and get it. So it wasn't like he was showing off. Sometimes we do this thing of grabbing each other's feet and kind of joking around and showing off. But he was so intense about it that he would wait until nobody's around, because back then they ate on banana leaf plates. And they would throw their leaf plates in the refuse, and he would go to the refuse area and get whatever he could of the remnants of the Vaishnavas and honor them properly. And so in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes on how he goes to the home of a great Vaishnav named Jadu Thakur. And Jadu Thakur, he was in a lower caste. And so Kalidas, being a rich man, a Brahmin by birth, he came, and Jadu Thakur and his wife, they were very humble that he came, and they wanted to serve him properly. And Kalidas, he brought with him some mangoes, because when he knew it might be a struggle to get some remnants, he would give Vaishnavs food that would have easily give some kind of remnants, like mango skins or mango pits. And so Jadu Thakur and his wife honored Kalidas into their home. And they said, "Oh, you know, we're very low caste. If you want, we can or get some Brahmin and they can cook at their home. We can send you there and you can take prasadam there." And Kalidas immediately started glorifying Jadu Thakur on how even if one is born, even in the family of a dog eater, if they chant the holy names, if they make their life and soul Krishna, then they've performed all kinds of pious activities. They performed all types of austerities, aho bhattasva pachato gariyan. They've performed all kinds of pilgrimages. If they're chanting the holy names and have Krishna bhakti, they're the highest of humans. And Jadu Thakur was very pleased to hear these nice verses, but he said, "But this applies to one who has Krishna bhakti, one who has devotion to Krishna, and I don't have any devotion for Krishna." And so Kalidas, he left the mangoes with him, and he said that, you know, "Please enjoy the mangoes." And Jadu Thakur walked him out of his home, and then he went back inside, and Kalidas turned around and he could see the footprints in the dust that Jadu Thakur had left. And he went and he very humbly took the dust and smeared it all over his body. So it wasn't a show. Nobody was there to see him. But he was deeply honoring the Vaishnavas. And Jadu Thakur and his wife, his wife prepared the mangoes. He ate, and then the wife took after. And then they threw the mangoes into the refuse pit. And Kalidas, he snuck around, and he took out the mango pits and the mango seeds, and he honored them with ecstatic love. Now, Kalidas, he later on went to Jagannath Puri to partake of the Rathiatra pastime. And so when he went, he noticed that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he went into Jagannath Temple, he would wash his feet at the bottom of the steps. There's 22 steps that go up, and there's a ditch, and Lord Chaitanya would wash his feet. And Govinda was there as a protector, as a guard, so that nobody would take the water that had washed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. He wouldn't allow anybody to take the water, although some very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya were very expert at sneaking and getting some of the water of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. But on this day, Kalidas, he went right up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right up to Govindadas, and he put out his hand to get some water that was washing the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gave a motion to Govinda, and Govinda, he's such an expert servant of Lord Chaitanya that just by looking at Lord Chaitanya, he immediately knows what he wants. And so Kalidas took palmfuls of water that had washed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and started drinking. He drank once, he drank twice, and he drank three times. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "That is enough. That is as far as I can please you." And then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the Nisringa temple, and afterwards he honored prasadam. And Kalidas again, he went and he begged the remnants. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, this is okay." And so he got the remnants of Lord Chaitanya. Kalidas achieved something that no other Vaishnav had achieved. By having such deep faith in the Vaishnavs, he was able to get the foot water and the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, something that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never gave anybody else willingly. Some devotees might have sneaked it, but he only willingly gave it to Kalidas because he had deep faith in the Vaishnavs. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how these three things, the food remnants, the foot dust, and the foot water of the devotees, are known as Mahabala. The three most powerful things that are in this material world and spiritual world are these remnants of the Vaishnavas. And by accepting those and having deep faith in those, then we can get Krishna Bhakti. So only by having faith in the Vaishnavas can we get Krishna Bhakti. Without the Vaishnavas, we are truly nothing. And we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, being the highest Vaishnav, the Acharya, he very mercifully came to America, leaving behind Vrindavan and ultimately spreading Vrindavan all over the world, the culture of Vrindavan. So we're indebted. Our whole life is indebted to the Vaishnavs who are teaching us how to perform devotional service. And by associating with the Vaishnavs, and we get to serve them, Sru Sru Sro Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. By serving those advanced Vaishnavs, then we get Vasudev Kata Ruchi. We get a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And when we hear and chant about Krishna, then our hearts become cleaned. Shrinvatam Svat Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Vudonoti Surhit Satam. Our hearts are being cleansed by Krishna when we hear and chant about him and remember his pastimes. And this is the life and soul of all the Vaishnavas, is hearing and talking about Krishna. And so when we have full faith in the Vaishnavas, Satchitanoi Prabhu was giving such a beautiful class yesterday, really glorifying the devotees and glorifying community. You know, we have such an amazing opportunity. And in Kartik, it's so sad to end Kartik because for us, it's a very special time to go deeper in devotional service. And like Mataji Nagapatni was explaining on Saturday's class about how Vaishnav should be introspective. And it's so important to be introspective. She was making such an excellent point about really looking within ourselves, what our goals are, what we want to really achieve in this life. And devotional service and following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, it's service of a whole lifetime. And Krishna consciousness, you know, being here for some years and getting the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas, it keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's so much philosophy. There's so many pastimes to meditate on. Srila Prabhupada's really given us everything to really dive into. And before I end, I want to speak a little bit about Nimbarkacharya, since it's a great festival day to remember him. And Nimbarkacharya are the four great acharyas. They've spread Krishna Bhakti throughout the world, Nimbarkacharya being one of them. And in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, he explains that Nimbarkacharya, he was residing in Bilava Pushkarani, which is none different than Bailvan of Vrindavan. And in Bilava Pushkarani, Brahmins, they would come and they would worship Lord Shiva. And so Nimbarka, he was one of the Brahmins that worshipped Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, being very pleased with his service, he said that nearby in this forest, the four Kumars are residing. They are your gurus, and you should go and take shelter of them. And so he went and he found, after searching for some time, he found the four Kumars who were residing underneath trees. And they were shining so brilliantly that no real normal eyes could see them. Only the eyes of great Vaishnavas could see them. And so Nimbarka, he went and he paid his obeisances. And by seeing them, he just immediately started chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's so much an ecstatic love of seeing them. And they got up and they immediately knew that there was a Vaishnava in front of them. And they all came around him and hugged him. They embraced him. And they said that Krishna, understanding that Kali Yuga is coming, he has designated four acharyas to spread Krishna bhakti, devotional service, throughout the world. And you, we're going to empower you to be one of those four. And so they gave him Yugal Mantra, or Radha Krishna Mantra, and the Nimbarkis, they chant a little differently than us. They chant Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. So they also have Yugal Mantra, but the difference between theirs and ours is that the Nimbarkis are in the mood of Sambhog, of coming together. And the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which we've gotten from Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Varga, is in Vipralamba. So we should understand that point. And so Nimbarkacharya, he started chanting the Yugal Mantra that he got from the four Kumars. And by chanting, he was able to have darshan of Radha and Krishna. And he was doing this devotional service in Navadvip. And so when Radha and Krishna came before him, they immediately came as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They came first as Radha Krishna, and then they combined their form as Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya ordered him that, this is my most secret form, and I want you to keep it secret. And when I advent later on, I want you to also advent in the place of Kashmir, and I want you to engage yourself as being a great scholar. And so in Chaitanya Leela, we know that Nimbarkacharya, he came as Keshava Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing his pastimes as Nimai the scholar, we know that the great Digvijay, he came to Navadvip and he was ready to battle everybody and anybody, and he wanted to smash them all. And he was empowered by Goddess Sarasvati, that whatever came out of his mouth was her doing. But in the association of Nimai, Sarasvati immediately left his tongue and he was defeated. But we should understand, Vrindavan Das Thakur makes a very nice point that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whoever he debated and defeated, he did it in such a gentle manner that they never left going away in distress. They were actually, after being gently smashed by him, they had more love and affection for him and became his devotees. And so also in speaking to Nimbarka Acharya, something that Acharya Narottam Prabhu and I speak about very often, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two essential conceptions from each sampradaya. And so from Madhva Acharya, he took refutation of Shankaracharya's monism, his philosophy, and deity worship. From Ramanuja Acharya, he took Ananya Bhakti, exclusive devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, and service to the devotees. From Vishnu Swami, he took a sentiment that Krishna is my everything and Rag Marg, or the path of spontaneous devotion. And from Nimbarka Acharya, Lord Chaitanya took the exclusive shelter of Radharani's lotus feet and the sentiments of the gopis. So these are the two essential conceptions from each sampradaya that Lord Chaitanya took and made into his own philosophy. So I thank you very much for your kind attention. If anybody has any questions or comments, Brigapati immediately is a comment. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. John, thank you, Bill. I like that. Thank you for a very beautiful class. I think you might have set the record for the most pure nectarian Krishna Katha in one class. It's very nice. On that point of the importance of the pure devotee, I had a little experience yesterday that helped me, gave me some realization about that insight. I was out on Sankirtan and this person I knew came to join me, because I was doing Sankirtan near where he lived. And he came and he couldn't really get into it. And I was, I was kind of disappointed. And I was thinking, man, this person is really out of it. This guy's really in the modes. And this person's really out of it. He's, really in the modes of nature. And I was kind of, disappointed. Anyway, he left. And then we finished our Sankirtan like an hour or so later. And he lived right, close to where we were doing Sankirtan. So I should go and visit just as a matter of courtesy, like that. So we went. And when I got there, I had doing Sankirtan with somebody else. Madhavendra Puri was my Sankirtan partner. So I said, come on, let's go inside and visit. We won't stay long. And he said, no, I don't want to visit that person, And he said, but I have to use the bathroom. So I said, well, he's got a bathroom, so you can come use the bathroom. So we went in, and he went and used the bathroom. And then, I sat down. And he had a smart TV. It's like a TV you connect to the computer. And he was watching. He had a video of Giriraj Maharaj, speaking in Dallas or something like that. He was giving a lecture. And it was, it was very nice. And then Madhavendra came out of the bathroom. He sat down in a chair and immediately he started watching it too. And we watched it for just about 10, 15 minutes. But the amazing thing was that our whole attitude towards this person changed. Just because he had that one qualification. So many other things were not quite to the standard, but he had that one qualification. He was taking shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna. And we just, our whole attitude towards him changed just because we could see that he was doing this. And we both had that same, conviction as we were leaving that, if he just keeps doing that, he'll be okay. As far from the proper standard he is now, if he just keeps doing that. And it reminded me of that verse in the Bhagavatam where it says that, Sukadeva Goswami talks about all the different races, Kirata, Hunanda, Puna. And then he goes, and he says, and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his, capital H, being the supreme power. In other words, the devotees are empowered by the Lord. And if somebody takes shelter of them, then that's it. Their consciousness becomes transformed. They're saved. So, you know, and as I said, that it was that experience yesterday kind of gave me some realization that this person, just because that one qualification, we both kind of felt, yeah, he'll be okay if he just keeps taking shelter like that of Giriraj Maharaj. So anyway, just on that point of the importance of the devotees of the Lord. Jaya. Thank you. Jaya.
Anything else? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Here's, I'm with Krishna all the time. He's crying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?